The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Just a short time ago, we had an election in this country where we asked Canadians how they wanted to keep fighting this pandemic. And their answer was clear. Canadians chose vaccines.
Canadians chose vaccines. The answer was clear. He's come out of hiding, by the way. The Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, he came out of hiding for an emergency session. He's maskless, but he might be holding his breath. We'll give him that. But there he is. There he is. That he's saying that Canada has spoken. And right outside the halls of this room that he spoke in last night, you have tens of thousands of Canadians speaking. They're honking their horns. They're demanding that restrictions are lifted. They've had enough. 2 years of lockdowns and restrictions, vaccine passports and the like. They've had enough. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show every day on CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3. Comes to you live at 11 a.m. here in the Oklahoma time zone and 9 a.m. on the West Coast, noontime on the East Coast of the United States. The channel, Channel 3, Channel 6, they also provide some replays daily in the CRN Digital Talk Radio platform. The live video stream, that's offered exclusively at our website. Just go to thetrumpet.com or thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to the live stream each day and also get to the podcasts. Of course, those are promoted as well on the front page of our website, just at thetrumpet.com. We have lots to get to on today's show. There you heard Justin Trudeau saying that the election last year gave him a mandate. That's the way he's speaking, as if he's got a mandate to lock everything down, to lock down borders, to demand vaccine passports. If you look at the most recent election, the Liberals pulled in 5 million. He didn't even win the popular vote. He lost that by a slim margin. But the Liberals pulled in 5.5 million votes, about 32.6% of the vote out of a total of 17 million who voted in the last Canadian election. And we'll leave aside the fact that there's all these reports of voter irregularities. We're well familiar with that in the United States, of course. But just to leave that aside for a moment, here he pulls in 32.6% of voters. That's just voters. It doesn't, just looking at the figures, it doesn't look like there was an especially large turnout for the vote. But here again, 32%, and he's saying, you know what, we've got a mandate. And Canadians have spoken. Canadians chose vaccines. Did they? Why is this convoy making its way all across Canada to throngs of people in every community coming out to cheer them in freezing temperatures? The mandate is for lifting the mandates. It's for lifting the restrictions. That's right. That's what he refuses to admit. Somebody just sent me a clip earlier this morning. A member from Trudeau's caucus just said that we need to move toward lifting these COVID-19 restrictions. And this is in Trudeau's party. It's breaking down all around him. He came last night. It's a sign of desperation. He knows. He knows his government's collapsing as well. Forget about the mandates, the vaccines and such. This is a sign of desperation, and you're seeing signs of this all over the world. Here in the United States, just one photo, Stacey Abrams with all the kindergartners I mean, if a picture's worth a thousand words, and those are popping up all over the place. As I said yesterday, Gavin Newsom, you've got Mayor Garcetti, you've got Barack Obama, the chosen one himself, going maskless. And added to that, he's building this palatial estate in Hawaii right on the shore, right on the ocean that's supposed to rise. People see the hypocrisy, and they're tired of it. They're fed up. Imagine posing for a photo in front of all of these little children, masked up. You can't see them. You don't know who they are. You just see their eyes above the big cloth mask covering most of their face. And then imagine the thinking. Just try to get into the mind if you can. Maybe we shouldn't do that, actually. But if you imagine the thinking that she, Stacey Abrams, proudly sends the photo out. She feels like this is wonderful. She's running for governor of Georgia and may well have ruined her chances with just one snapshot. She couldn't be happier to sit down and pose for a photo in front of all of these masked children. The same children that have, what, a 99.998 survival rate coming from COVID, or survival rate from COVID. Trudeau has a mandate. He doesn't have a mandate, in fact. He's in the fringe minority. Listen to what he said last evening in Parliament, clip two.
Individuals are trying to blockade our economy, our democracy, and our fellow citizens' daily lives. It has to stop.
It has to stop, he says. Blockading our economy, says the man who's blockaded the economy for 2 years. You stop, you truckers. You stop shutting down the city. That's my job, Trudeau could have said. And he's done a pretty good job of it. Not just Ottawa, all across Canada. Cities, he's shut down travel. He's shut down businesses. He's shut down the nation. He's shut down the border to the United States. He shuts down the unvaccinated. As I say, he's done a pretty good job of this. Can you believe the total lack of self-awareness here? For him to, what's the direct quote? Individuals are trying to blockade our economy. This is exactly what these communist leaders have been doing for 2 years. And all the reports coming in from Johns Hopkins and elsewhere didn't work. The lockdowns didn't work. And so here comes this peaceful protest saying, enough, lift the restrictions. And now members of Trudeau's own caucus are saying, enough, end the restrictions. You've got governors in blue states, New Jersey, Illinois, that are saying, enough, enough with the mask mandates, enough with making our children wear masks to school. We could put together a list of headlines that goes on probably for hundreds and hundreds of feet. CBC, 77 fines issued, 7 people charged for breaking Canada's quarantine rules during COVID-19. Let me just again give you these headlines in the context of what the Prime Minister said last night. Individuals are trying to blockade our economy, our democracy, and our fellow citizens' daily lives. CTV, woman handed nearly $7,000 in tickets for breaking quarantine, according to the Vancouver police. Another one from Forbes. Canada will require proof of vaccination for domestic travel as of October 30th. Can't travel. Can't fly on a plane. Who's shutting down what here? From the CIC, travelers must be fully vaccinated to enter Canada starting January 15. From CBC, police arrest 21-year-old at skating rink after bylaw officers say crowd violated COVID-19 regulations. You may have seen the video footage yesterday. 80-year-old man, barely 5 foot tall, being wrestled down by two police officers in Ottawa. Didn't show his papers. Honking his horn. An Ottawa judge says that's illegal now. The people have something to say about that, evidently. CTV. Man arrested for refusing to wear a mask. Another one from CTV. Shoppers entering Quebec's big box stores now must have COVID-19 vaccine passports. These are just some of these circumstances may have changed, but these are just some of the headlines. A quick Google search. As I say, who's shutting down what? TNC says unvaccinated Canadians can be banned from grocery stores in New Brunswick. Associated Press, NHL stops cross-border games, shuts down seventh team. They're shutting down teams, sports teams. They're shutting down cross-border travel. They're shutting down shoppers. They're shutting down the border. They've shut down cities. They've shut down businesses. They've shut down livelihoods. They've shut down lifestyles. And he has the audacity last night to say individuals are trying to blockade our economy and fellow citizens' daily lives. Can you believe this? And then finally, Reuters, unvaccinated truckers entering Canada must quarantine. You got to quarantine for days. We got to shut you down. Listen again to Justin Trudeau from last evening, clip 4.
The people of Ottawa, indeed people across the country, deserve to have their safety respected and deserve to get their lives back.
The Canadians deserve to get their lives back? That's from the Prime Minister. That's his message to tens of thousands of Canadians, millions just looking at the support, who want to, quite simply, get their lives back. He's saying that the truckers are depriving Canadians of their livelihoods, of their lifestyles. And he's guilty of exactly what he's projecting. Pretty amazing to see just how out of touch so many of these communist leaders are with ordinary citizens. They're getting a little bit worried, though. They're starting to squirm a bit as they see these populist uprisings, as they see these populist movements sweeping across their nations. Here he comes, finally, out of hiding, and he doubles down. He says, look, we've spoken as a people. We've chosen vaccines. It was all, the last election was all about vaccines. Listen again to him from last night, clip 3.
The people of Ottawa don't deserve to be harassed in their own neighborhoods. They don't deserve to be confronted with the inherent violence of a swastika flying on a street corner, or a Confederate flag, or the insults and jeers just because they're wearing a mask.
The same old boogeyman. The swastikas, the Confederate flag, I guess, makes its way to Canada from time to time. And they're violent flags. The swastika is violent. He's so out of touch. And, you know, really, you don't want to just pin it all on one man. As we've noted so many times before, I mean, the sickness in these last days, in our nations, it goes from the head. There's the head right there for Canada. But all the way down to the foot as well. From head to toe, sickness through and through. Richard Palmer, our correspondent in the UK, he visited Canada last year for a time, had to work his way around all the quarantine measures and such. It was very difficult, very cumbersome, the process. He's not alone. A lot of Canadians had to do that over the last 2 years. Same with the UK. Same with the United States. So it's been all, as Richard pointed out in a trumpet brief he wrote while in Canada, it's all COVID, nonstop. That's the top of the news cycle. Every single every single day for 2 years. But if there was one story that made a dent into the news cycle that was non-COVID related, it was this story about the Canadian residential school where they found the bones of all these children buried in this, I guess it was some kind of Indian reservation. And so the media just went wild with this story. What kind of genocidal act did the white man get away with? As Richard pointed out in his trumpet brief, Canada Day was canceled. They created a new holiday to honor those slain children. Flags flew at half-mast for months. Statues were torn down. This was when the left-wing media didn't care about statues. They were torn down and attacked. Churches were attacked and burned. The UN talked about a large-scale human rights violation and called on the government in Canada to investigate. The Canadian press, they declared the children of the residential school the person of the year. These dead children, the bones of these dead children. And soon, I mean, it wasn't just 200, the bones of 200 children. It was thousands, perhaps. Richard wrote in his trumpet brief, "The differences were noticeable almost immediately. I've always enjoyed the way Canadians proudly displayed their flags, but this time they were all at half-mast. Day after day they hung there, seemingly more tattered and faded than in years past. They were ordered half-mast to commemorate the residential school's scandal, a mistake long since apologized for by all except the Catholic Church, which ran most of the schools. The scandal has been used to tarnish an entire nation's history. Canada, usually so proud of its identity, looked ashamed. It felt like visiting a defeated power." Well, as Richard pointed out in his news stack today, the key academic behind this discovery of the bodies revealed that they might have just been a bunch of tree roots. They might not have been children's bones at all. Where's the media on this correction? Well, they're silent. They rush to report if it makes Canada look bad, if it can destroy Canada's pride and its traditions, its heritage, its legacy. They'll rush to report that, no problem. The whole story was based on ground-penetrating radar. They based this story on radar that picked up signals from the ground. Nobody's uncovered any bones. Nobody's done any actual digging. It's unbelievable. This professor, Jacques Rouillard, he's at the Department of History at the University of Montreal. He published this review, this article, pointing out that, quote, "all of this is based only on soil abnormalities that could easily be caused by root movements." The original academic that brought this story out in the first place also mentioned this. It could be other things, but the media didn't want it to be about other things. They want it to be about Ephraim coming in there and committing all these genocidal acts. This article says, according to another anthropologist, Scott Hamilton, who has worked on residential school cemeteries for the TRC between 2013 and 15, "one must be very careful with the use of ground-penetrating radar because the soil may have been disturbed over the years by sedimentary texture, culturally derived unconformities and obstructions or voids." So they based it on conjecture, what it might could be. And like Richard pointed out in that trumpet brief a number of months ago, it was all aimed at just attacking Canada, blotting out even the name, as we've reported to you so many times before, 2 Kings 14 and so on. How many news agencies or picking up this story. You've got Sky News in Australia that has reported the truth on that. But what a perfect example, like Richard noted, of the way the communist left operates. They spread fake news as far and as fast as possible. And then when the truth comes along, they just ignore it. They don't report it. They don't go back and correct it. They don't go back and correct the record. They're too busy. They're too busy promoting Justin Trudeau's radical leftist communist policies. The mask, so to speak, is beginning to come off, though. As I said, with the actual mask mandates, those are being lifted in places in dark blue states like New Jersey, like Illinois. And again, Stacey Abrams, Obama being photographed without the mask. The two California leaders at the big football game, no mask. This has a lot to do with the way ordinary citizens are beginning to think in the United States, in Canada. Listen to CNN's communist commentator and doctor, Dr. Lena Nguyen, on CNN last night, clip 11.
That doesn't mean that masking doesn't have its place for children when there are very high rates of hospitalization. If we get a new variant in the future that children are particularly susceptible to, we may want to bring masks back. But we should also be intellectually honest and say that masking has had a cost, especially for the youngest learners, people with English as a second language, children with learning disabilities. There has been a cost to them. So the risk-benefit calculation has really changed.
Masking, she says, has had a cost. Well, that's obvious. You know the polling coming in for the Democrats. You know it has to be bad if these people are starting to emerge. The left-wing communists among us are starting to emerge saying, well, there has been a cost and we should lift these mask mandates. It wasn't that long ago when the American Academy of Pediatrics said, no, there's no harm. Put them on two-year-olds. Put them on three-year-olds. It doesn't affect anything. They offered no evidence, by the way. No studies to support their argument. But this is the American Academy of Pediatrics. They say masking doesn't hurt a little child with learning disabilities, or maybe someone trying to learn English as a second language, having the muzzle on, and then trying to communicate with the teacher. There's no impact. No effect. No adverse effects whatsoever. So said the American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, how are they going to respond to what that woman just said there in that soundbite? These people are being exposed, not just as hypocrites, as liars. Being exposed as liars. It's almost hilarious to see how many liberals, how many Democrats are now being called hardcore conservatives like Joe Rogan or someone like that, just because they're telling a little bit of the truth. Bill Maher, we've played a few clips from him in recent months. He's about as leftist as you can get, except for when it comes to the last 2 years, the pandemic, the lockdowns, the masking, what the experts have said about health and fitness. Listen to Bill Maher from his show the other night, clip 7.
It's time to do what a growing list of countries have done and announce we're going back to something more like normal, beginning with recognizing that what we're doing to kids is unnecessary and horrible, and I don't even like kids. But making kids who have a COVID survivability rate of 99.98% mask up like bandits. Unfortunately, the thing that's getting stolen is their education, their sanity, and their social skills.
I mean, if you lose Bill Maher, if Bill Maher is exposing you as a fraud, then they're in trouble. They're in trouble. The wheels are beginning to come off this bus. And they know they're 8, 9, 10 months away from the midterm elections, the ones here in the United States. The communist wing of government in the United States. The walls are closing in around them. Listen again to Bill Maher, clip 8.
A study this week from a professor at Johns Hopkins concluded that the lockdowns we all suffered through had little impact in reducing COVID deaths. Okay, that's kind of a big one to get wrong. Last July, President Biden said, "You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations." Well, I already knew that was wrong then, and now we all do. The former director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, believes COVID originated in a lab, and now our intelligence agencies agree it might have. But for months on social media, it was banned to even discuss it.
That's right. Have you noticed that a lot of the things that were banned, that you even what that Dr. Lena said about lifting the mask mandates from kids, there was a time when you couldn't talk about that. You couldn't say that. But now look at how many topics that have been banned are all of a sudden they're being exposed as the truth. One more clip from Bill Maher, clip 9.
But how about just wrong? Wrong a lot. Wrong about HIV, wrong about lockdowns, wrong about kids, wrong about how you couldn't get it if you were vaccinated. Remember washing our packages? And there's never been any research showing that outdoor transmission is likely or common, yet LA County says we're still supposed to mask up for big outdoor events, like we'll be at the Super Bowl. Well, supposed to. It's all theater, watching athletes mix it up on the court and then mask on the sideline, not being able to touch a menu, but watching them touch my food. Maskless at dinner while sitting but not standing. And by the way, if Applebee's really cared about our health, they would make us cover our mouths after the food arrived.
Bit of a truth bomb there from Bill Maher. Hardcore leftist, but he's exposing the lies and the hypocrisy. And he's adding a little bit there, too, about health and fitness and how you can avoid getting COVID or the flu, or how you can avoid dying from something like the flu, or at least heighten your chances significantly. Obeying the laws of health. These are things that we talked about on this program 2 years ago. We were talking about it during the first 15 days that turned into 2 years. For 2 years, they've blockaded borders. They've blockaded communities, provinces, states. They've trapped families and children, little children, in homes. They've sent them home from school. That's Bill Maher saying that, look, how wrong could we be? There's a, what did he say? That's just wrong. But what, how about just wrong? And how about just coming out and admitting that we got it wrong? And how about coming out and addressing the protesters' concerns? You've got members of Trudeau's party calling for that, his own party. We've got other items here on the vaccine. The Journal of American Medical Association, they've admitted that myocarditis cases are on the rise as a result of the vaccine. Another one here from the Wall Street Journal, COVID-19 vaccines linked to menstrual cycle changes. The journal says, since widespread immunization against COVID-19 began last year, doctors and medical researchers have been fielding reports of painful cramps, delayed periods, and other changes in menstrual cycles among some who got the vaccines. Now research confirms that the shots can affect menstrual cycles, with one recent study linking vaccination to a slight increase in menstrual cycle length. How much longer before we hear about how the jab impacts fertility? You can find that on the VAERS website, by the way. All these cases of death, but more than that, just hospitalizations. Listen to the New Zealand Prime Minister. She's right in step, in lockstep with Justin Trudeau's thinking. And this is what she had to say earlier this week about the vaccine. Clip 5.
I heard Dr. Bloomfield at the beginning of the week mentioned side effects that people experience with vaccines, which we all have come to expect, a sign that the vaccine's doing what it should.
Right. The side effects show that the vaccine is working. How do you reason with someone who thinks this way? You can't. You can't, which is exactly why Ottawa's filled with truckers and protesters demanding change, demanding that these insane mandates be lifted. The side effects prove that the vaccine is working. How does dying because of the jab? There's another case of a young kid collapsing on the basketball court last night. Happens all the time, right? That's the tagline we put. That's the subject line we put in our emails, our internal emails back and forth with our news gatherers. Here's another one. Happens all the time. Just get used to it. That's the Prime Minister of New Zealand saying that side effects from this experimental drug, the side effects prove that it's actually working. An attack. What an attack on America. America under attack. Switching gears just quickly before we take a break. The Federalist had an exclusive whistleblower video show systematic issues with the Pennsylvania elections. We've got a trumpet brief coming out today. Caught on camera, election thieves. We touched on this last week and have pulled some of this together for a brief. But the Federalist piece has a few videos where whistleblowers in Pennsylvania, Delaware County to be specific, there you overhear conversations where basically you can tell the level of incompetence at the very least. Just leave aside nefarious, you know, behavior of some kind. But at the least, there's incompetence. How do you explain all of these tens of thousands of ballots that just mysteriously show up? And then there's workers, poll workers, commenting on how, oh yeah, with this batch, there's no chain of custody. Don't know where it came from. Cheating on a mass scale. Listen to Fox News' Brian Kilmeade. He was asked on his radio show about Donald Trump's recent speech in Arizona and the fact that he brought up the election steal. This was how a Fox News commentator responded to that, clip 12.
And right now, nobody cares about 2020. Nobody. And everything that he said and the challenges that he made should have been done before the election. And they did a recount in Arizona, and the recount showed no difference almost. And he came out and said it showed that they won Arizona. That's an outright lie. And please stop wasting our time with that.
That's an outright lie, he says about President Trump. He's right in step with establishment Republicans, just like Mike Pence. Well, I heard what President Trump said. That is not true. President Trump is wrong. President Trump is a liar. These are Fox News contributors. These are prominent officials in the Republican Party. Go back and listen to yesterday's program. They want to alienate Donald Trump. They want to marginalize Donald Trump. And they're in for some pretty big surprises in the months ahead. Because Donald Trump still has the support of the majority in the United States. And let's talk about the majority in Canada. Let's talk about the fringe minority. Who actually is the fringe minority? Donald Trump would do well to continue talking about the 2020 election steal. If you took that same mentality with just crime in general, well, anybody would go and commit a crime and you'd say, hey, 2020's in the past. Just we should have had more law enforcement there to prevent it. So we can't go back and punish the perpetrators. It's even worse than that, though. He says the Arizona audit, you know, the one where they counted all of the fraudulent ballots again, too. Surprise, surprise. We came up with the same result. Just dig a little bit deeper, Brian. Dig a little deeper into those ballots that came from dead people, into those ballots that came from out of state. Then we'll get somewhere. A lot of people, though, they don't have the courage to go there. They look at the videos coming out of Pennsylvania. They look at all of these mules in Georgia. dumping backpack fulls of ballots into drop boxes in the, it's not even in the wee hours of the night, sometimes in broad daylight. They're on video. They're taking pictures with their phone so that they can get $10 per fake ballot. Wow. Well, there's this clip. We'll save the Jimmy Carter clip. It's not a recent one. It's from 2019. But he said that Donald Trump was, he was illegitimate. He stole the 2016 election. So there's Jimmy Carter who just won't let 2016 go. And he's not alone. There's lots of prominent Democrats that say the Russians stole the 2016 election from Hillary. They're still on it. They still harp on it. They're going to be harping on stolen elections in just a few months if they lose the House and the Senate. But according to a Fox News commentator, nobody, he says, nobody cares about 2020. Really? Is that true? Is it just a fringe minority that's concerned about election steal, the one of 2020? Or is it a majority of Americans who believe that? Well, we'll soon find out. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with a short study, and then also we'll probably have time for some emails coming in from our viewers. You'll be right back. I hope you'll be right back. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The Trumpet Daily. Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
At the end of yesterday's show, we talked about the importance of not sitting back passively and just taking all the the events of this world and even the circumstances around our lives, taking them in passively, but to really step forward and act with bold, decisive, God-inspired action. We mentioned how important it is to produce fruit and that our fruit continues to grow. Or as Jesus said in John 15, that it would remain. I'll read this verse again to you. John 15, verse 16. It says, You have not chosen me, this is Jesus speaking, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. But whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. We've been called to go forth to produce fruit, and to make sure that that fruit remains. And he talks further about asking of the Father. Ask and you shall receive. That's in Matthew 7 as well. Luke 11, same thing. Go to God. I mean, it takes someone who's active and offensive-minded to just have a lively, active, dynamic spiritual life. As I said yesterday, the spirit of this age, it's described in that last part of Revelation 3. It's Laodicean. It's lukewarm. God said, I wish you were cold or hot. I wish it was one or the other. But this passive lukewarmness of just sit back and, you know, watch everything happen. God says, get up and act in faith. Stop trusting in material things or being distracted from what's true and right We're slipping into a spirit of complacency, spiritual lethargy. There's a few points that I'll give to you here today on overcoming that sin of complacency, that sin of lukewarmness. And the first one I just touched on, bring passion into your spiritual life. We've really been talking about this a lot within the college sphere here, telling the students just how important it is to organize your semester well and to organize your days well, to make sure that those daily increments are split up and focused on spiritual things, particularly when you're getting the day started off. I won't take the time to go to the prayer outline in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 or Jesus' command in Luke 21 to watch and to pray. There's a lot that goes into that spiritual diet, daily prayers, contact with God. We have a wonderful book, How to Pray. It really is a life-changing book. We've got other materials on this subject, like in our correspondence course. If you haven't enrolled in that, I would certainly recommend that. That will change your Bible study life for the better. But that little booklet, How to Pray, go to our website, thetrumpet.com, order that booklet today. You can call our operators today and we'll send you a hard copy out. It's no cost or obligation for you. Just call 1-866-930-3024 and ask the operator for the How to Pray booklet. Powerful, powerful little booklet. Another admonition that you might consider is just putting your heart in God's work. I was speaking to our CFO, our Chief Financial Officer, Andrew Locher, who was talking about just the last many months, even during the length of this pandemic, and just how much God has blessed the work, even as many of our most faithful supporters have endured trials and tests. Some have had jobs taken away from them because of whatever mandate, vaccine or otherwise, or maybe hours reduced because of lockdowns. And yet, I mean, and my father brings this out in his most recent coworker letter, we've had record years. Growth. We've seen growth in the church, in the work, in the support for the work, even in the income for the work. During these years of pandemic. Now we know that there's also been a lot of things that have hurt the economies in the West, or that have caused the money to be worth less because of inflation, skyrocketing inflation. But that said, we have seen some of the costs for this work. We've seen some of it reduced, some of it because we've had to. Can't travel as much and that sort of thing. Some of our ministers are doing more by phone and so on. But it's still very inspiring to see just how many people have put their hearts in God's work and who are really and truly walking by faith, trusting in God to provide, and then being so very, very generous with their tithes and offerings in support of God's work. Another point to consider, another way out of the spirit of complacency. I touched on this already, but it's the point about managing your time well, organizing your time, particularly in the morning, getting out of bed early enough to really pour your heart into your prayer. My father wrote in the Last Hour book, he said, how do you manage your time? How urgent are you in organizing your time? We all need to get motivated to do more. We have less than an hour left. I mean, just looking at that prophecy, spiritually speaking, we're down to the last hour. And if you knew you only had an hour to live, if you knew you only had an hour to go, I mean, think about how focused that hour would be. Think about how careful you would be with every single moment. And yet it's so easy, isn't it? We all struggle with it. Just squandering away minutes, squandering our time, getting to the point where you have, say, a productive Sunday, and then you kind of hit a brick wall, and then that's it. You cash it in. and the night is wasted away on frivolous activities, television, whatever. I mean, there's a place for some entertainment here and there, for maybe viewing a game or something like that. But we want to orient our lives to where God is right at the center. We just had a wedding here recently, another one here in Edmond. It's such a beautiful thing to see young people, when they're single, devoting their lives to God, and you see them come through the Armstrong College process, and they make miraculous changes because God is coming into their lives more, and so many of them get baptized while they're here as a student at God's college, a single in the family of God. And then they prepare for marriage, and then they welcome counsel from a minister to help them prepare for marriage. And then when two marry, as I told the two this past weekend, if you just keep God at the center, if you keep God in the middle of your marriage, then He'll bless you and you'll continue to grow all the more now as one flesh and by one Spirit. If God is at the middle of your daily routine, you're going to be churning out some productive days. And following on that, another point that you can add to this is to be goal-oriented. In Herbert Armstrong's booklet, The Seven Laws of Success, the very first law that he expounds upon there is to set the right goal, or set the right goals, plural. We need daily goals. We need the daily to-do list. We need weekly goals. We need monthly, yearly goals, short-term, medium-term, long-term goals. God wants us to see where we're going. You know what it says in the Bible about people with vision. If they don't see the destination, if they don't have the vision, they're going to perish. That verse, that proverb really is about being goal-oriented, or at least seeing into the future. It's both. I mean, having the goals, but also seeing, watching. Like I said earlier, where there's no vision, the people perish. Matthew 5 and verse 48, let's notice this in conclusion. Push yourself, though, forward in these last moments that we have. God, as I was telling the young people in Principles of Living class this morning, there someone was telling me recently about the brethren that we knew and loved when we lived over in the UK, and some of our brethren are getting older, and we're hearing of more funerals from time to time, which is not a sad thing at all. That's precious in God's sight to see someone who's sealed and who's devoted their lives to God's work, to God's church, and then they made it. They endured to the end, their end. They were spiritually oriented. God was in the middle all the way through to the end. But as I was telling the young people this morning, I mean, it really does highlight, though, just how important the role of the young people is for this church, for this work. Because the years are going by and all of us are getting older, and we need this oncoming group of young people, singles, young marrieds, young families, young children, just pouring their hearts into God's work. Read the first few verses of 2 Timothy 2 sometime, and you see Paul, an older man at the time, writing his last epistle before he was to be executed, telling Timothy, now you go out and you find some others. Find other men that you can hand this over to. I mean, develop leaders, teachers. Keep it going. Pass it on. Matthew 5:48 says, become you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, that's quite a motivational verse. It's a corrective one, too, because we all see just how imperfect we are, how far from perfection we are. And yet God says, strive for perfection. Become perfect like God. God is reproducing Himself. He's reproducing His character, His nature, which is love, unselfish, outflowing concern for others. It says in the, I believe this is, it's a Trumpet article, sorry. How much of a perfectionist are you, my father wrote. Do you strive for the perfect marriage, the perfect children? Do you labor to produce the most perfect product possible at work. It says, if we do this, good things will happen. God tells us to develop that quest for perfection in everything that we do. Whatever you do, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Colossians 3, verse 23, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it mightily, do it wholeheartedly. That's the goal. Matthew 5, 48 is the goal, perfection. Notice Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. We are a light to this dying world, to this dark, evil world. We are the family of God. This is God's work that we're doing. And so we want to be illuminating this brightness of God's character, of God's way of life, this perfection that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 5 and verse 48. A couple of emails that we can conclude with today. This one came in just this morning. It says there were 797 homicides in Chicago in 2021, 62 already this year. Probably will be over 800 this year. It says, seems to be an unsolvable problem. Switching gears, he writes, myself, I'm tired of dealing with COVID. I'm a school bus driver and a mask dispenser. My students are mostly known to me by their forehead and eyes. I have to wear a mask as well. Good thing I am close to retirement. I'm 66 now. This could go on for years. It's like the Twilight Zone. Thanks for the Trumpet Daily. This one comes in from Trinidad. I don't know. Did I read this the other day? Forgive me if I did. It says, first, let me say that on first thought, it may seem to be pure serendipity that I came across the Trumpet magazine. But because I'm a Christian, I know it is the hand of God. This magazine addressed to someone else was placed in my mailbox today in error. He goes on and talks about how he came upon his Plain Truth subscription a while back. And has a few things to say also about President Trump and some of the messages that we've put out, that prophecy on Jeroboam and the Trump resurgence. This one comes from Canada. It says, I'm a Canadian senior. My father was a Canadian soldier in World War II. I'm very proud that he served this nation. What I'm seeing now is very distressing. We have a would-be dictator trying to take over. The true patriots are the truckers. So many cannot see what is happening to this wonderful country. I pray for the truckers and all those who have gathered to support them. Trudeau is an embarrassment. That's coming from a Canadian citizen. Another one here says, from South Africa, just wanted to say thank you for keeping us so up to date with regards to world news and how it always fits into the sure word, God's sure word of prophecy. I also really enjoy the Bible study at the end. Yesterday's study on family was one that both my wife and I can so much identify with, the empty home syndrome. It says our girls have been out of the house for many years now, and we still miss them very much, all the times that we spent together. Today, when I get home, I don't have children running to me and jumping into my arms. There's a little bit of consolation in that my dogs are always there to greet me, and I have to go and sit down first so that they can jump onto my lap and receive a good deal of patting. But it is not the same. It's not the same as having those little ones running around the house. If you'd like to email the show, you can send an email to td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.